You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, the place for you to break free from the norm and celebrate your life, because what we believe in our hearts becomes our reality. This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman.
Welcome to Magical Moments. I'm your host, Elena Chapman. And as you know, this show is all about that ease and that flow in your life, even now with everything that's going on. And you know, I have a magical nugget for you today. And my question to you is, are you thinking too much? You say, Elena, what do you mean? Of course I'm thinking. I'm thinking all the time. Well, but are you thinking too much? Are you stuck in the age of information and dwelling? Are you stuck in the age of, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to just dwell on it and dwell on it? Are you having trouble going to sleep because the chatter in your head is so pronounced? You can't even meditate because, oh my gosh, seriously? How can anyone sit there and think of nothing? That is what is thinking too much. Thinking too much causes us, we're not really thinking, guys. We're not really thinking. And believe it or not, I was there for some time in my life. I used to think the more information I had, I'd listen to all the news, I'd listen to all the commentaries, I would fill myself with all this information. And then what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Unless I was going to run for public office. Then maybe it would serve me. Otherwise, what it did was it made my head spin. Oh my gosh, I gotta act on that. Oh my gosh, look at our government's a mess. Oh my gosh, I can't, I got this going, I gotta sign up for this, I gotta do this. And then it also goes into our life. And we start ruminating, and we just, instead of doing, we think about it. But we're not even thinking about it, we're just letting it spin in our heads. And it won't shut up. It's a very interesting time. But how do we learn to shut down the chatter? First of all, we have to view it as chatter. There is another way. And then we have to just start to train the mind. Who is in control? Who is? Am I in control of my being? Am I in control of my beliefs? Am I in control of where I want to go and what I want to do? Or is my mind in control of me? That's really what it comes down to. And when you think of it that way, it puts you more in the driver's seat. I can start to train my mind. I can say, there's one little exercise you can do, you know. You can start to just say, for a certain part of the day, for even 5 minutes, just take your hand, take those thoughts, yes, do a physical action, because a physical action cements it into your mind. Say, okay, thoughts, all this thinking, I'm going to take you right now. Yes, you're heavy, I'm going to take you all. I'm putting you in the basket, and I'm putting you on the top shelf. And I'm going to leave you there just for 1 minute, then maybe 2 minutes, then 3 minutes. And meanwhile, what do you do? Oh my gosh, you can do anything you want to do. You can play the piano. You can write a book. You can just write a letter to your friends. But it's all with the free mind. There's one thing you really need to know. The only important thing in the whole wide world is this minute, this moment in time. This is the moment in time where you can act. This is the moment in time where you can be. This moment in time only lasts 1 minute. And if you're stuck in your head, you miss the moment in time. You miss the present. You miss divine life coming in and being with you. It's time to take control of our overthinking. It's time to learn how to train it so that we can live the fullest in these beautiful moments, in the beautiful present that we have right here, right now. With that, I have a wonderful guest for you today. Oliver Bardwell. Now, Oliver is such an incredible, cool man. He is, well, number one, he's a poet. To me, I love poetry, so I am amazed with that. I'm hoping we can even, for my own little treat, get him to speak on the poetry that he is very just good at doing. But let's talk a little bit more. He has written a book called The Way, A Small Book of Wisdom. He has been studying and practicing Kriya Yoga. Now, we're going to learn more about that too. Meditation and the Chinese martial arts for decades. And he spent a lifetime learning about religion and spirituality. Dear Mr. Oliver, you and I both, that is fantastic. Growing up with an amazing mother who was not only a devout Christian, but also a locally renowned and gifted psychic, man, he got a lot of experience. He learned to view life as a mystical journey, which it is so much. Gosh, I love that. As we read his writing and his poetry, and as we go through this universe and this one incredible interview, you're going to see how it becomes so apparent that the world of magic and spirits can begin to open up just for you. And with that, I would like to bring on Oliver Bardwell. Hello, Oliver.
Hi, Elena. Thank you so much.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I think you summed my book up in your introduction in talking about the moment and you know, the magic of this
nugget.
Moment.
And the magical nugget.
Your magical nugget.
Yeah, the moment. We've forgotten about that. We really have. We get so busy. But it's not like we're accomplishing more, huh?
No, we're not. We walk through our house. We walk through our house and we're not even in our house. We're somewhere else. The mind has no boundaries. So,
you know, that is humongous. And, you know, I can even say I have been doing that a little bit. I stay in the moment pretty much, but I'll tell you, we were doing, you can get caught up in it. I was, you know, all of a sudden I have 5 people in my house. I have 3 of my boys and somebody else who needed, a friend of mine who needed a place to stay. She's staying there. And I have 2 dogs and a cat, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, I work from home, so I'm trying to navigate that. All right. So we entered into a little bit of chaos. And with all my trying to organize and keep things together, I love plants. I'm a big plant person too, animal and plant person. I forgot to water the plants. And I thought, oh my gosh. But for me, that's a sign. I take that and I say, oh my gosh, I'm not living in the moment, because it's not like me to not value the life that's around me. You know, that means I'm in my head too much. I'm not in the present moment taking care of the beautiful life that is around me and valuing it. Instead, I'm spinning. And so it was a sign to say, okay, stop. And see, everyone out there, everyone can get caught up in that web of overthinking or having our minds spin. Yeah. Oliver, good point. Yes.
It's really a rabbit. It's a rabbit hole. You know, your mind starts to think and starts to chew on a problem. And before you know it, you're miles down the road and into the future.
You're in an illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're living there. I mean, when you're washing your hands, you're not washing your hands. You know, when you're spending time with your family, you're not really there with your family. You're somewhere else.
No, you're somewhere else. And that moment is lost forever.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And so I know people out there are saying, but Elena, because I know they do. They write it and tell me, Elena, what? But I've got a busy life. I'm a CEO of a company. I have three companies under me. I have this and that. I'm a busy person.
My question would be then, when are you the CEO of that company? When are you that busy person? It's at another time in the future, or it's at another time in the past. It's not that, not right now, that you're that,
yes,
that person. So it's all things that you're thinking about, or you go to work and you think about being somewhere else, and you're at home and you're thinking about things that you have to do at work.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So what are you right now? You know, that's what I would ask people like that, or that have that. Oh, I mean, we can all name all the things that we have on our plate or in our to-do list, but what are we right this moment?
You know, you bring up an extremely important point, because a lot of people say, because I've heard it, that, well, when I'm in this moment now, I can't sit there and keep thinking of washing my hands, or I can't be in that moment. But what they don't understand, and I did this naturally for years in my, I call it my unconscious competent times, before I started living in more of the mundane, I had this magical way. Actually, you know something, Oliver, people used to say, how can you do that? How can you just let go of everything? So when I was in with a choir, I was in with the choir. All my problems would disappear. If I was working with kids, I was working with the kids. Nothing else came in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that came from my dad teaching me how to focus. And little did I know, not only was I learning how to focus, I was learning how to live in the present moment.
And I think you were also being selfless. Those are times of service too. And when you're,
yes,
you know, and that's kind of our nature, is to serve people or to serve others, whatever gift that we find that we have in life, if we can use it to serve others, the self is getting out of the way then, you know.
Yes.
You're working with kids, or you're singing in a choir, or, I mean, those are all things that are service related.
And so you can get so totally involved. Yes.
Totally immersed. Yeah.
You had a very interesting growing up.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that formed who you are today with the values you have today.
Well, I grew up I'm the youngest of eight, so we had a pretty crazy, chaotic household. And so when you talk about five people in the house and a cat and a dog, we had eight people and, or 10 people,
yeah,
and cats and dogs and everything else. But
wow.
My mom, excuse me, I say, you know, my mom was a very devout Christian. I mean, she sang in the choir, and she was a member of the small groups in the church and was always serving in that respect. But from a young age, she had always been a very gifted psychic. I mean, people knew, and they would come to her and ask her. I mean, she wouldn't charge anything. They would come to her and ask her for things. The police had come to help find a missing person. She could do really just about anything. But if you met her, she was the most down-to-earth, seemingly normal person you could meet. I mean, just very kind and generous and a great, great mother. But her bookshelf was filled with books like The Autobiography of a Yogi, or The Testimony of Light, or A Course in Miracles, you know. So I grew up,
yes,
reading all that stuff and, you know, having conversations with my mom about, you know, the afterlife, or about stuff beyond our senses. And so coming from a Christian background, we went to church every Sunday, but also knowing there was more to life, it was a very interesting, and it was a youth that really led me to be open-minded and to search for truth wherever it came from.
You know, it is. People always ask me, and I've always been this way, like your mom. I wouldn't say I never tried to tap into the psychic half, mm-hmm. but using being spiritual and religion. You know, in music, I taught in almost every religion. And I was brought up Catholic. And people say, you can't mix the two. Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can. It's not an either or. But your mom probably didn't get mixed up in all the dogmas, the man-made rules. But she saw the glory.
She didn't. You know, and people like Thomas Merton or Martin Luther King Jr. or Thich Nhat Hanh, those people that really, really understand and have... I suppose that they are the kind of the pinnacle of their religion. They see the unity in all teachings, because once you feel that peace and love and you really understand the message, you realize that we're a family of people on a spiritual journey, no matter what religion you are.
We are. We are. And you really do, and it's fascinating when you do get that message, and when you do finally understand, then every church you walk into, it's feel the presence.
Yes.
Yeah, you feel the presence of God, and it just it's overwhelming, and it's so awesome. Yeah, that's how I felt too. Yeah, I understand your mom. Now, did all the siblings end up with the same? Clarity and understanding?
I think so, in a way. I mean, my siblings have read my book and they all say, well, I know this stuff. Mom taught us this stuff. You know? So they all kind of have that understanding that there is more to life than we can see, feel, and touch. You know, it's, I mean, just growing up with my mother was kind of magical that way. I mean, she went to office, she wore a business suit, and she worked in a office with trial consultants, and she worked for attorneys doing jury selection, and you could give her the name of somebody and she could tell you all about them. You know, I mean, her limits were, she really had none. I mean, and she had friends that were very interesting. And as a kid in junior high or high school, I would go to these events with her and I would meet all these, you know, Ayurvedic doctors and Vedic astrologers and people from all over the world that were, I would have conversations with that most adolescents don't have at that age. So it was a good expansion and a good base for me to, you know, go into life with.
And so where has that brought you? Now that you are all grown up and in your own life.
Are we ever all grown up?
I don't half the time I do not feel it, no.
Right. Well, I studied Chinese martial arts from a young age, and really I think I taught my first yoga class when I was in junior high school to some friends in my friend's garage from a yoga book my mom had. I've spent some time in some Hindu ashrams and doing some retreats in yoga, you know, yoga retreats. But I've also stayed at a Trappist monastery, a Catholic monastery. So I have value, you know, taking that time out of life to really just be and dive deeper into the spirit. So, I mean, my whole life I have practiced meditation, but it's been sporadic until the last few years that I've really made it a daily practice or a couple times a day practice. And in writing the book, I really worked hard every day. Every morning I would get up and meditate and practice yoga and pray, and then I would write. So that even took me a little deeper.
You know, with everything that you went through when you were younger, it took you a while to get into a solid meditation practice. Have you seen that meditation practice change you?
I've definitely been able to come from a center of peace and bring that out into my daily life.
Even more.
That doesn't mean that irritations don't arise and things don't come up, but when you come from that place, you're really an observer of that, and you can take a step back and say, okay, why am I having that reaction? And, you know, because the emotions are just your body's reaction to thoughts. So it's easy to feel things in your body, or beliefs, or limiting beliefs, and think, okay, well, what about that is making me feel this way? And then you're acting instead of reacting. And I don't find myself reacting much at all. I mean, those things will come to the surface of the mind, or if the mind is like a pond of water and there are ripples in it that are the disturbance, as the observer, you can take a step back and I guess have more of a say in it, right?
You can register the way you want to proceed in it. I think, and you're talking, I call it the sweet spot, that wonderful place of the universe, where your soul, the unit, the whole divine, the whole mass consciousness of heaven and everything else is there. And it's this, what Eckhart Tolle said, it's everywhere but nowhere. Right, I think it was Eckhart. Right. It might have been a Deepak. Well, maybe both. But it was this everywhere but nowhere. And it is when you enter that space and you start to reside there in your meditations, and this is more like transcendental meditation, you can start to live more that way. It's not you're living like a zombie. You're living with an incredible peace inside. And when anything ruffles your feathers, it's like, oh, wait, why am I getting upset? It's introspection. Instead of just reacting and saying, hey, I'm really mad. No, you stop and you say, wait, what's going on? Oh my gosh, that's because I believe that such and such, or, oh, do I want to believe that anymore? Not really. It gives you a chance to take control, to have control of yourself, to be able to process emotions. And pretty soon you see that stuff doesn't bother you like it did. You know, that busyness of your mind. Really, when I was talking about that overthinking, meditation truly is one of the keys that can help you to get control over that. Could you, Oliver, the and I probably pronounced it wrong. Now I don't have it right in front of me.
The Kriya Yoga?
Kriya. I did pronounce it right. Now that Kriya Yoga, I'm not sure I know.
It's a form of Raja Yoga, and it's kind of combines the different types of yoga. But there's a little bit of, there's some asanas in the beginning, but it's a practice of moving the energy up and down the spine through the chakras, basically.
Like Kundalini.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But there's a combination of breathing and pranayama and, mantra, using a mantra. And it's kind of a system like Patanjali taught thousands of years ago. But, I mean, when I teach people to meditate, I teach basic breath awareness or a mantra or a passage meditation or a combination of those things. But I do practice the Kriya Yoga as well. And it's a part of my practice.
Okay. So, and sometimes we definitely need to move that energy. We do need to, because it gets settled in and sometimes not in good ways.
It does.
So moving that energy.
I learned that from Paramahansa Prajnananda, who is really in the same lineage of Paramahansa Yogananda.
Right, right. Huh, very cool. And so you teach all of this in your area.
I do. I think the most valuable benefit to meditation is just being able to, like we talked about, enter your day with that peace and calmness. And then to realize that you are not your thoughts. I mean, the more you meditate and the deeper you dive into that, you start to realize that you are not the things you're doing. You're not your thoughts. You're not your body. You're not any of the, you're not your roles, all the roles you play in life or the roles that people sometimes assign to you. That's not who you are either.
No. And it's an awesome feel of freedom.
It is very freeing.
I want to make it clear to people, so you're not, so I'm a mom of three. Am I a mom of three? I can get that away. I'm not just a mom of three. I am not just this. I am not. These are things that are just, I'm not. However, what that affords me is that when I am dealing with my kids, I am more about them than me.
Right.
Now that's hard to understand, but that is probably one of the best things you learn from yoga.
Right.
So when you are in that position, so when I am helping my kids, it's like talking to your soul, guys. It's part of talking to your soul. It's starting to be living with your soul. You are all of a sudden, if one of my sons is having trouble or is in a position, my first reaction isn't, oh, how is this going to reflect on the family?
Right.
You know that goes through your head, folks. I know it does. So, no, it's not about me at all. It's about, okay, how do I help him to get through this the best way that he can? And it turns into, you have now, you have filled your cup with the meditation and the spiritual growth. And when you do that, then when you're called upon to help someone or to help your kids or to move forward in a way, you can do it with the fullness of understanding. It's a different way. You're not shooting from the hip. You're coming from a centered and grounded and very filled with energy place.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And Oliver, doesn't that make just a total difference?
It's the biggest difference you can make in life. I mean, if you can be there for somebody and be present and be giving and loving and serve, you know, I mean, our core being is to give and to serve and to love.
Yes.
You know, so when we can get out of the way, I mean, our ego covers that up. Our mind covers that up. Our false identity covers that up. But we experience peace when, you know, some people, I've heard people say, you know, let God into your heart. Well, I say, let God out of your heart, you know, because that love comes
open
from
it
within. Yeah. And we cover it up, you know. So when we're serving our kids, when we're helping other people and we open up, that love flows out. We feel presence. We feel peace. And we help them to feel that as well.
Folks, we are going to be right back. You're listening to Magical Moments, and we're going to take a quick break. But do not miss the second part, because we're really going to start learning how can we add this into our life in the easiest and best way.
This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, helping you find your ease and betterment. Stay tuned for more of this week's featured interview.
Welcome back to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman. Okay. You guys, I'm excited. We are going to get to hear a little bit of the poetry or a little bit of the beauty and the sacredness. Oliver, with everything you do in your life, which I just admire, has not even what you've chosen to do. Let me rephrase that. What you've chosen to do all has a Zen quality. You write poetry, correct?
I do. You know, I used to, when I was young, when I was a kid, I taught myself to play the piano, and I'd write lyrics, and I wrote poetry, and I'd put the poetry to lyrics. And I haven't written poetry in years, but when I started to write this book, at the end of every chapter, a poem would just flow right out of me. So the book is filled with poetry and verses that kind of are, I think, meant to speak to the spirit, because I think, you know, there are books that are fantastic and have tons of intellectual and scientific support and everything else. But personally, I love to pick up a book that I can just flip to a page and it'll touch my spirit. And that was the goal in writing this book. So poetry's kind of always come, naturally to me. It's not that I've been working as a poet for years. It just flows out of me when it has to, I guess, or when it needs to.
With that, could you privilege us with just a small little snippet of that beautiful poetry, that very spiritual, enlightened, and just lift us into this moment?
I would love to. I'm going to read the epitaph, which is the very beginning, and it's just four lines. But if you can understand this, you can understand the contents of the book. To see the world in a drop of rain, the deepest love in a ray of light, to suffer from a stranger's pain and know the day in the dark of night. And I'm going to read the very last page of the book.
Okay. I love this. I love, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Underneath the weight of who you have been taught to believe you are lies the divine self, full of love and light, beyond duality and judgment, beyond pain and suffering. This is your true self and your true nature, the source from which manifests all love, creativity, and joy. Om, peace, amen.
Amen. Absolutely beautiful. You know, you covered the sacredness of every, or in, well, the sacredness of every moment, seeing yourself in that drop of rain, and that's what it is. It is worship. It's just almost an incredible feeling of awesomeness in everything around you. But you also talk about that wonderful coming into that higher self, which I call the higher soul, but it's the same thing. That higher self that is light, that is love, that is that total centeredness. I really think it is, you know, I always talk about baby steps. I love that movie, What About Bob? I always bring that up on my show because he, by baby steps, he accomplishes the grandest things, you know, the biggest things.
Right.
So if we start with just being in the moment, we start with trying to quiet our minds. And even if it's for a second, do you know that meditation that is from the Tao? It's a meditation. It's from the Taoism. When you breathe in, you breathe in from the abdomen up, which is very interesting, folks, but it works. Number one is it feels like if you do that in the car or something, just that movement alone. And then when you let it come out, you let it fall like rain. When you do that alone, it pulls up from the base of the spine. And yeah, and it actually feels like this calm, energizing.
You can feel it in the top of your head as well when you do that.
You can. Right at the bottom. It opens up everything.
Yes.
Exactly. But there's one where you can breathe in and then you breathe out. You breathe in deep and you breathe out. When you breathe in and out, when you're comfortable, then all of a sudden you start to feel the space between the breath in and the breath out. Have you ever heard? I'm sure you have this, Oliver. That's the sweet spot.
Is beautiful. I mean, one thing that I tell people is try to be aware of your breath as long as you can. I mean, just throughout your day. It doesn't even have to be a sitting down meditation. Because you can be aware of your breath while you're having a conversation. You can be aware of your breath while you're driving your car, while you're working, while you're doing anything.
You can.
And what that does is it takes some of the energy that you're wasting on thoughts about the future and the past or concerns and worries about, you know, the COVID or whatever it is. And it brings it back to the moment and it brings it, you just feel that inhalation and exhalation. And some of the most incredible spiritual experiences can come from that.
I can. You know, it's funny. People don't realize they don't breathe. We do not breathe. A lot of times we will stop, but we won't breathe. And, you know, I used to sing professionally. And I am the one thing, if I didn't breathe between one place, you know, when the breath was supposed to be taken, I'd run out of breath.
Right.
So you learn. But the breath has to be a release breath. If I just go, huh, and the throat is tight, then the music won't come out.
Mm.
And that's the same with us in our life. If we breathe in like that, and when it's all tense, and then we're going on and we're speaking from only a part of ourselves, and it's a shallow part, and we're not speaking from the whole centered place of our being. Same with singing. You have to just feel like you've got a flow of the breath. And every pause that you take is just like a refreshing and a refilling. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
And, you know, Buddhists and great yogis would say that we're born in the inhalation and we die in the exhalation.
Yes.
And that moment is the only real moment, right? Being rebirth.
Yeah, that moment's the real moment. It's incredible. It's incredible. And then I think, folks, you know, everything sounds very zen, and everything sounds, you know, like more of stationary, like water. But this is the thing. It is when you are in this moment. It is when you are in that calmness that you can do the most. That's when creativity just soars inside of you. That's when problem solving is a piece of cake. That's when opportunities start flooding. That's when you see the bigger picture of things. You can accomplish more from that than all that spinning around in your head with the problem solving and the not breathing and the just the craziness. Then you're not doing anything. Oliver, would you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, you don't need to check out of life to be present. You can accomplish more in presence than you ever thought you could or ever dreamed you could. I mean, you can run and be present. You can juggle the 10,000 things and be present. I used to say, a mantra I used to say is, I'm the Prince of Peace sitting on the throne of poise, directing the kingdom of activity. Just being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I like that.
Being an entrepreneur and a business owner and a, you know, on certain boards and a soccer coach and a parent and, you know, running businesses,
martial arts,
and every part of your day seems to be busy, but
yeah,
you can direct it as if you are the eye of that storm so that every person that comes into contact with you gets the fair part of you that should be there, you know, and every problem that comes up gets your full attention. You don't have to be scattered. And the people that are the most fulfilled and successful in life come from that place of peace.
You know, I want to talk about this. So if someone is in this place of spinning, is in this place of, you know, just a chaotic mind, can't shut it off. I know meditation, but you know, I also have many, 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 many people who come to me and say, I can't do this.
I say that so, right in the book, just before the section on meditation, I talk to people about it and they say, oh, I can't, my mind just won't settle down.
Right. So what can we give them? I'm going to let you do this. What can you give them to get a little bit of peace in their life so that they can just understand what that meditation even feels like, what that those thoughts leaving their mind just what does that feel like?
I would say sit quietly and remember a time that you felt truly at peace, whether it was when you were with a loved one or sitting on the porch or fishing. Or we have those moments of peace. Sometimes we forget about them, but just remembering a moment of peace can take us to that place. So I'll take people through something where I have them sit and relax and focus on their breath and relax their body, each part of their body, and then just kind of drift back to that place, that moment where they felt peace. And then they can, once they're there, they can feel the peace. They can be immersed in the peace. They can be surrounded in that peace. And then they can bring that peace. They can future pace it to a situation that they may have been concerned about and see how it plays out differently with coming from a place of peace, bringing that peace to it. They can take that to a situation in the past that didn't go so well, and they can replay it and relive it with that inner peace and then come back to the present. I mean, the past is a story that we tell ourselves. The future is something that may or may not happen. So when we can get centered and be centered and bring that peace to any situation, it'll change. I mean, it'll be what we need it to be.
I love this. How can people get hold of you and the book or just find out more? How can we get anything, you know, if they want to contact you?
OliverBardwell.com. They can just go to oliverbardwell.com. And I
spell your last name.
B-A-R-D-W-E-L-L. Bardwell. Oliverbardwell.com. And I think we're going to do a drawing for your listeners. I'm going to give them a free copy of a book that I have that I put out, a small one on meditation. So there's a 15-20 minute session in there. And then we're going to do a drawing for some free autographed paperback.
Guys, this is awesome. All right. So the best way for them to do that, how can they do that? So they go to oliverbardwell.com and...
And there'll be a download for meditate. But I believe I gave your Jackie, I gave her a link just for your audience. That if they go to that, it'll just be for the Magical Moments audience.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oliver, it's been so wonderful to have you on.
Well, thank you so much, Elena.
Wonderful nuggets. I've enjoyed this tremendously. Yeah. So, and we will have you again, I am sure. I love the poetry. You know, the way in my heart, you give me a poem, you got me forever.
I'll send you some more poetry.
Oh, definitely. Dude, please. And for everyone out there, guys, you know, you really, gosh, you so deserve. You deserve the very best. You deserve. It is your birthright to feel that peace. It's your birthright to come home to what's real. It truly is. That is like the powerful gift for you to have, and you deserve it. We're not here to suffer, guys. We're not here to constantly feel out of control. We're not here to feel like everything is just the worst. We really are here to start evolving, to learn, but also to wake up to this peace that was always ours. And this incredibleness, this power we truly have in ourselves, spirit, and that love. So today, start to look at, okay, today I'm going to try and sit and just start remembering back to a time when that was really peaceful. Heck, go outside, lay on the ground, look up at the clouds, and just see the different shapes, see how they're moving, and let your mind to go to them, and then allow it just to be at peace. I love clouds. I love the sky. So, and also, we are going to be talking about more ways to help you on the Green Terra group. And that meets 7 o'clock on Thursday nights. The Green Terra group is a wonderful, my gosh, I love the people on that call. They all are so interested in learning, and they all offer so much value. And we really do have a good time, but they also learn so much. If you're interested in being in that group, it's free. You just go to soulmanifesto.com. There's a pop-up that says Green Terra. Click on it, and my gosh, you're right in there. Just put your email so I can send you the Zoom link. That easy. And also, guys, if you are interested in, if you have any questions about this show or any other, still go to Soul Manifesto and just go to the contact page and ask your question, because I'm going to be doing Ask Elena. And I have to say, you know, I am so impressed by all of you. I'm always floored by the incredible questions that you offer. It shows me that you are on this path. It shows me that you want to learn more. And it just opens my heart. I'm just so happy that you're finding your way. So if I can help you with that, send me a question. Your question probably helps at least 100,000 more people. Yes, believe it or not, we have a lot of people listening to this show. So just think, your question could help 100,000 more people. Ah, isn't it beautiful? You are listening to Magical Moments, and I am your host, Elena Chapman. Always stay connected to that divineness inside and to people around you the best you can right now and to Source. Namaste.
This has been Magical Moments with Elena, featuring Elena Chapman. If you missed an episode, download it now on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Deezer, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform. Learn more online at soulmanifesto.com.